music. I wish I had a rattle. I'd rattle it. Rattle it. I'd rattle a rattle for the babies. I'd rattle. Are they missing me, Judith? Are they missing me?
I don't think they are, actually.
Well, sodom then. Sodom. I'm not going to come and see them then. I'm not schlepping all the way to Oxford.
Oh, don't be like that. Don't get all like that.
I want them miserable since I left. I hope they cried when I left. I hope
they had been crying, so you might be right. You might be right. We had a lovely day.
Well, we had a lovely day with them. We saw each other and it was a nice day, and you made a homemade asparagus quiche that you made at 4 o'clock in the morning. I could taste that. I could taste the 4 o'clock in the morning in it. I could taste the tears. Taste the weeping of exhaustion in with the asparagus.
The exhaustion and the bad temper.
No, of course not. It was absolutely delicious.
Well, I'm very impressed that you remembered it. But
and the garden was looking glorious and the village was at its best.
Yeah.
If I didn't know that, the next day the weather was going to go all shit, I'd have thought, oh, it's quite nice here, you know, let's do this.
Well, he said, we got off to a bad start, Jenny and Claire.
Oh, that was my fault entirely. I don't mind admitting to that.
But that made me laugh.
Well, I don't know how you thought. I don't know how you thought that I could possibly have got to Oxford in the time that I texted you the wrong time that the train arrival.
An hour early.
I texted you to say I shall arrive at 10 to 12. Well, considering we'd recorded the podcast up until 11 o'clock, I don't know how. I mean, I'd have had to have a helicopter.
Only smarty pants. So the truth is, because I'd been up since, you know,
Sparrow's
fart.
Yeah.
I was having a little nap. And then I was having
My text woke you up. Yeah.
Your text woke me up. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I went sort of all boss eyed.
Yeah.
And I ran outside. I ran to the car. I don't think I've ever ran to the car so quickly. And I couldn't do my sandal up. You know, I've got a really annoying pair of sandals that needs.
Buckles.
Need a lot of attention. And so I was hopping over the gravel with one shoe undone. Yeah. And I reversed out, screeched down the thing.
Very sorry.
And I pictured you.
Stalls.
All forlorn.
Waiting at Oxford Parkway. Thing is, I'd already had a text from Mike saying that he was picking me up. So I was all confused. Anyway, a digit slipped. And so I'm very sorry about that.
I was relieved.
But you look jolly well,
Jenny.
We both look very well.
Well, which I think might be code for kind of been eating quite a lot of coleslaw. But
actually,
never mind.
Two people in this last week have said, you've lost weight to me. Yeah, honestly, it's made me worry.
Really?
Yeah, I thought maybe I'm ill because my dentist said it. And then the radio, I've been doing a book, another book read. And she said it, I just thought, mind you, I was wearing black linen. Sometimes it's like a shadow, isn't it? You create your own shadow.
Perhaps you'd had a big poo.
No, I hadn't. I was just looking thin. It was one of my thin days. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, it was. And I tell you what, those babies, I don't know what they're on, but they're very easy. They're very good-natured.
Yes, they are good-natured. I mean, the trouble is there's two of them, but which complicates things and does make it quite... But yes, you're right. I think that on the whole, they are. But it was quite funny, wasn't it? Because you and I had a baby each, obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were both wearing dungarees.
We were.
So we look like twins.
Yeah, I bought mine first. I bought mine last year. So I thought, I know she's going to wear her dungarees. I'm just going to wear mine just to sort of put down the fact that I started the dungaree craze. So I'm wearing mine. Anyway, it was my first, I tell you why I looked quite well. First day of fake tan.
It was very effective because I thought, I was quite struck actually because I thought, you know, given that there'd been quite a lot of ailments.
I've been in hypochondria corner for quite a long time.
Well, you've been monopolising it actually.
Yeah.
Spreading out like on a seat.
I was in agony for some of the day. And I winced on the train a few times.
Did you?
Yeah,
did
I did.
You? But with your sciatica.
But yes, with my sciatica. But I found pushing the pram, you've got something to rest on, haven't you?
Oh, it's nice, isn't it?
I think,
a long time hence, I hope, when we've got those walkers. You know, when we've got those, it'll be a bit like that, won't it?
I'm not bothering with a fucking walker. I'm getting a pram. Because I want some stuff. You can't carry much stuff on a walker.
Very true, very true. Maybe that's why kind of those sort of bag lady. I'm sorry, I'm straying into territories here, which can be rather critical. Yeah. But
But you know, we don't need to. You don't need to be a bag lady to have a pram, though, Judith, because you'll need to. Your Poppy will want her back legs will have gone by then, and she'll want to be in the pram. You'll be nicking cuttings from places, so you'll be like posh bag woman with pram.
Well, I can see how it would happen.
And I'll need a spare pair of knickers. I'll need a change bag when I wet myself.
So, this might be the way to go, mightn't it? Might be the way.
Absolutely.
But there was a moment when the two of us were sitting outside, and we both had a twin, because we were given the responsibility, weren't we, of a feed.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. As soon as I came through the garden gate, basically one was thrown at me.
Oh, you're on duty, weren't you?
Yeah.
You always know back in about a year. As soon as you arrive at the scene, you're on duty.
I was a bit frightened. I wanted to sit down first and make sure that I was sitting down first, before Sienna gave me a twin.
Very sensible.
Just in case I fell over. Because I overbalanced with the just not used to it.
Well, it's quite
not that they're big boys, but they're not minute. They're really growing, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Especially Stanley. Stanley now has got that. I remember my baby doll. I had a baby doll that had kind of all the limbs are sort of chubby little limbs, little hands are all kind of.
What was your baby doll called?
I can't remember what I called her. Which is frustrating. What was yours called?
Well, we had two. This is back in Berlin. So I'd have been about four. This is the one I can remember when there were two dolls. One was a slightly yellow, waxy complexion thing, very ugly indeed. And her name was Damas. I have no idea where the name Damas came from. Ooh. And the other one was made of pot. She was a black China doll. Mm. And I dropped her down the stairs, and she was called Potsy, obviously. And I dropped her down the stairs, and I broke off the top of her head. And I was absolutely devastated. And I think it was my dad, because he was a bit softer about that sort of thing than my mum. And he sent her to a dolly hospital in Berlin. And she came back. This is the brilliant thing, because she'd gone as a baby doll. She was a bald China doll. And when she came back, because the top of her head had been caved in on the stairfall, they put a wig on her. They glued a wig. So then she was like a toddler. She had loads of curly hair, and she was gorgeous. She was my favourite thing.
I can still smell mine. I can smell the plastic.
Yeah, I can smell Damas.
Baby.
Damas wasn't very nice, actually.
So, yes, Stanley really is. But there was a moment when... I think Sienna gave us a bottle each, or she gave you a bottle, and it was like, where's my bottle? Jenny's got a dummy, I want a dummy too. And it was just like almost we were in the Wendy house playing dollies, and you've got all your toys, and I wanted all the toys that you'd got.
All the same toys,
Yeah.
See, I didn't notice that. and then we had to change them. Do you remember all the changing? And then I had Edward at one point, and I didn't put his nappy on very well, rookie mistake. I didn't make it sort of tight enough around his little legs. He's got a slim upper thigh. Stanley's chunky around the top of the thigh.
Yes, he is.
And so he managed to wee out of the side of his nappy. And I just thought, I must have spilt my drink. Why are my dungarees so wet? And it was Ed had weed all over my leg. So there you go. We had to change him, and he'd done a little yellow poo. And it was, so exciting.
But anyway,
I slept well that night.
But it's getting you ready, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It was a bit of a revision class for you.
Well, yes. I mean, they don't change babies, though, do they? They sort of like, as soon as you've got one on your knee, you think, you have to do that stuff again, don't you? You have to do the back.
It sort of comes back, doesn't it?
Back. I've done the pram shop.
How'd it go?
I sort of gave myself a talking to before we did the.
Well, I think I gave you a talking to as well.
Not to interfere too much sort of thing, and be pleasant.
Pleasant, agreeable.
Good-natured and agreeable. That's what we decided. managed most of the day. And we went to John Lewis on Oxford Street.
Oh, nice.
We were there before the doors opened. I mean, we were first in.
Were you?
Yeah, and I nobbled a lad called Chris. I got him to look after us for the day. Chris was sick to the back teeth of us, I tell you, in about an hour and a half. I really, you know, started skulking in the store cupboard and all that kind of thing.
Did he? Hiding? Yeah.
Because the thing is, if you go to if you go to John Lewis and look at their stuff, sort of, you know, when you're in an earlier pregnancy, and you get a voucher, you get 10% off.
I know, I've heard about this.
If you go back and actually buy all the gear. So, anyway, we went for a yo-yo. Now, I will get letters about the yo-yo. I will get emails saying, oh, the yo-yo, babies grow out of the yo-yo very, very quickly. It is the smallest, neatest pram. But to be quite honest, Phoebe couldn't manage any of the others. I mean, you know.
Some of them are very enormous, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And she's quite small, to be quite honest. I mean, because she's not married or anything. And mind you, I wasn't wearing my wedding ring either. Sometimes I just don't. And honestly, sometimes Phoebe, until you look at her again, when you realise that, oh, no, she has got an old, you know, a woman's face, because she's quite small, I think sometimes people think, oh, God, is she like 17 or 16 or something?
Yeah, she's got a sort of sylph-like kind of figure, hasn't she?
And then suddenly there's this massive bump.
Yeah.
And but, you know, it all went quite well. And then, you know, Sienna sent an email the other day, very useful, with all the top stuff that we really need on it.
Yeah, she said she was going to do that. Yeah.
So it's done. And Phoebe said, yes, I'm going to get that. I'm getting, you get that? Oh, God. And I've got a bit of a list now.
I bet you have. But wait a minute, just go back to this yo-yo. So it's the smallest one. So does that mean that you have to get kind of another one when they get a bit bigger?
Well, surely not. Maybe its legs will just hang over the edges. I don't know. It'll have to just learn to draw up its knees. It's a normal size pram. It's not anything unusual. It's just it's quite compact. A bit lighter than some of the others. So you know, it's just. And also, if I'm going to sort of do some of this baby looking after, and I've got a bit of sciatica, I want it light as well. So, and I could pick up the. Oh, what's it thing that goes in the car? Car seat. They're awful, aren't they? Car seats, baby car seats.
Nightmare. I've been at the moment. I've sort of stepped back. Very unlike me. I've kind of, you know, I've not rushed forward and rolled up my sleeves with that sort of thing.
Not with the car seat. I can't see why they haven't by now, because it's like, you know, it's like another millennium now from when we had our kids.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't got just very strong magnets in the car. You should just be able to clip them in with a magnet.
God, wouldn't that be good?
Wouldn't that be easy? Yeah.
Or maybe the babies could have a magnet in them. Do you know what I mean? Sort of, well, no.
No, that's really dangerous, Judith. You can't take that back. Honestly. But I was really, really impressed. I mean, I was really impressed with how Sienna's coping, and I was really impressed with how good natured the boys are, how sort of accepting and kind of patient they were.
Yeah, I think they are. But I think maybe if you're a twin, you sort of have to wait your turn, don't you? Ish.
God, maybe I'll get a dummy. Maybe I'll get a twin dummy so that Phoebe's baby learns to wait its turn a bit. Just pretend there's another one.
I think you'll find that probably you'll have enough on, really, with just the one.
I think that everything in your house, I know Sienna sometimes stays, is very set up for, and I know it drives you mad a bit because you are a control freak and you like your house very tidy.
And it's such a state at the moment.
And you have got baby clobber. But it is everywhere. There's so much space you've got, and so much garden space as well. Yeah, so it can kind of absorb quite a lot of shit, can't it, your house?
Yeah, but so can yours.
No, it can't. Yes. No, it can't. Can you imagine? Our garden, death trap. Absolutely.
Oh, well, the garden is a problem, actually.
Yeah,
the garden,
it's going to have to be an indoor baby when it's round our house. It's never going to set outdoors. Yeah.
And you'll walk it round the park, won't you?
Yeah, parks are fine. There we go. So, anyway, you had a... We had a really, really good time. And it was good to see Ellen as well, because she's with you as well at the moment. That made me laugh a lot.
Why?
Because the garage door's open and all her furniture's in your garage.
Oh, my God.
And it was piled up to the rafters. And then when I walked into your hall, there was a double mattress. That really made me laugh. A massive, great double mattress in the hallway.
It's everywhere. But you didn't venture past the living room, which has got laminated signs of do not open this door, because, of course, her cat is the other side of all these doors. They've got a cat that doesn't sort of go out. You know, it's not a cat that goes into a garden. It's an indoor cat.
Well, that'd be like Phoebe's baby when it's come around to our house, not allowed in the garden. A bit indoor baby.
It probably will. Yeah. It probably will be. But yeah. But oh, but do you know what happened after you left? After you left, I had, I think, the most stressful 15 minutes I can remember for a long time. Okay, so what happened is you went.
Yeah.
And I was told by Ellen that I had to go and feed the cat or something. I don't know. I was doing something in where they are with this cat. And you can't open the windows, you can't open the doors. And I heard Sienna shouting, "Mom, Mom, Mom." So I, you know, shut all the right doors and racing into the kitchen. And there's Sienna, and she's got the twins on the floor with their nappies off, kicking their legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And this stray dog had come in through the French windows and was barking at the twins. I know. And then Poppy was barking at it. So they were going round the dining room table with the twins. Poor Sienna was saying, "Oh my God, what do I do?" I mean, thank God the dog wasn't going after the twins.
What was Sienna doing? Was she sort of... Was she
attached to them. She was attached to the, you know, milking machine.
So she was expressing milk with a machine stuck on the sofa. Mutt has got in through the French windows, chasing the twins around.
Yeah,
I mean, they're flat on their... Well, they're doing tummy time or back time or their kicking time.
Yes.
Oh, my. I mean, what sort of dog was it, Judith? If it had been round here, it could have been really dangerous. I mean, at least in your sort of idyllic country village, it's like to be a sort of, you know, all right. But it could have been... I mean, here, it would have been a fox. It would have been a mangy fucking fox. That's what it would have been. Because they come in all the time.
Do that. Oh, I know they do in your... Yeah. No, it was a nasty... And I could hear people in the street saying, "Peppa, Peppa." But I knew I couldn't open the window to say we got it. And so, it took me ages to find it.
What, in case the cat got out?
Well, yeah, in case the cat got out. So I eventually captured it and captured
Poppy. What sort of dog was it?
I don't know, one of those curly, funny curly things.
It'll be a posh one. It would have been a labradoodle.
He wasn't quite like that. But anyway, I had a posh collar or anything. Yeah. So eventually I reunited it with the owners, who frankly looked a bit pissed off that it had taken me such a while. And I said, "Actually, it's been a really difficult time." I mean, all was well in the end, but God,
did the babies cry or did they just...
Because
they just take anything in their stride, those two.
Yes, they do, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they could change, but at the moment...
Oh, I think they might well change.
I mean, when they start teething and all that sort of thing, but at the moment they're just sort of like little bobbly things, aren't they?
Sweet.
Just sort of,
they're quite sweet. They're quite
sweet. No trouble.
Well, I wouldn't say no trouble, but anyway, yeah. So there we are. It was very, very nice to see you, and we should do this more often.
I was very jealous of your garden. I'm very, very disappointed in my garden at the moment. And I have to tell you that the only rose that is growing in my, you know, because I've got five pots of roses.
Oh, yes.
And the only one that's growing is the one that you bought me last year. And the other four have just—they're just doing nothing. One, it's got these buds, and they look like they've been chewed by a dog. I don't know how to describe it, but they look like a dog has had them in their mouth, and it's all. And
this is the new growth. You mean the new growth that's coming through for this season? The new.
Yeah, I've not had a proper rose out yet. Have you had a proper rose out?
No, it's a bit too early. No, too early.
I don't know. I see them all round us, particularly yellow ones. Oh. Yes, I don't know whether the yellow come out first. I'll tell you what's bloody disappointing. I got some dahlia tubers and I planted them a couple of weeks ago. And
yes.
I thought, you know, you've got to have that tuber bit that sticks above the soil.
Yeah.
That's the thing with the tubers. There's a little bit that sticks up above the soil. Well, I've done four or five pots of them and I'm looking at one of them and I'm thinking, where's the stick bit gone? And then I start prodding around. Fucking squirrel has taken the whole thing. I mean, it's not just a bulb. It's not one bulb. It's a sort of tuber with loads of bits hanging off it. It's just the pot was completely empty. The soil was all there and had some wood chip on the top. Gone, completely gone. The only thing that is bursting out all over, this big, massive hosta that I didn't plant. I don't like hostas.
I don't like hostas either.
I don't know.
People rave about them. I think they're horrible things.
They're horrible things, fortunately.
It's why it's growing.
Yeah, it's like a bloody triffid. Yeah. And I think it's one of those ones, though, that doesn't have the white flowers, because they bother me, those white flowers.
Yeah.
You know, the creamy sort of things. Big, sort of rather funerally with a big cock of a yellow stamen sticking up. I don't like those. If those flowers come out of this hosta, I'm going to behead them. I will cut them off with the shears. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I don't blame you, actually. I don't blame you. Oh, that's annoying about the dahlias. Really, really annoying.
Really
and they're
annoying.
Quite expensive as well, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't buy it, Judith. I didn't buy it. It's being done by cross-pollination or whatever you call it. Some bird shat somewhere and some seeds of... I don't know quite how it works. Or bees. But I have never bought a hosta seed or bulb or whatever in my life.
No, I mean, it's annoying that the dahlias that you put in, because those must have been expensive.
Yes, I know, they are. That was Sarah Raven. That's, I know.
Sarah Raven ones as well. The goddess of cut plants. My God.
The squirrels must have thought, oh, here we go. Sarah Raven, I'm having them.
Sarah Raven.
I think they're probably dealing them down Squirrel Pub somewhere in a park.
They probably are. Selling them over the garden fence to people. Cheap.
Anyway, there we go.
Madly.
I have been working all week. That's what else I've been up to.
You're working so hard again. How was your root canal, by the way?
My root canal, I have to be totally honest with you. I can still slightly, I've still got sensitivity. And it wasn't too bad. It was 2 hours with my mouth agape.
Two hours, Jenny. Yeah.
But they gave me plenty of injections. I couldn't feel a thing. At the end of it, though, I had a moment where I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to shut my mouth. I thought my jaw, the hinge of my jaw, seemed to be kind of stuck in open position. And I really had to sort of manoeuvre it to shut my mouth.
Oh, God.
And I think when he was in there, you know how deaf I am, and he sort of was asking me, can you feel that? And I think that I was meant to say, yes, I can. Yeah. And I said, yes, but it's fine. And I think he was meant to cut the root a bit shorter. I don't know.
Oh, but I can slightly feel it. Anyway. Joking.
I'm fine with paracetamol. I'm fine.
It is very hard to keep your mouth open like that. You'd think, wouldn't you, that they'd have got a thing that you could rest, you know, like rest your mouth on after a while, like a prop, you know, like a kind of.
They did that. They did that.
There was such a thing.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever encountered because it was half dentist, half S&M. They put this sort of balloon rubber stuff, a dental dam, across my mouth.
You're joking.
And it smelt like balloon. So it was a bit like, you know, those GIMP masks that people have, and they have those sunny ball gags and things like that. It was like something like that. I mean, I couldn't see it, so I wasn't quite sure. And it was like clamped to my other teeth. And I think it was to keep my tongue out of the way or something.
Oh,
it was very odd.
God. But you must have felt like you were gagging with all that in your mouth as well.
I had to keep calm. I had to remind myself to keep calm. Then when I finished.
Shoulders down.
I got home about 4 o'clock. I went to bed for a couple of hours. I did.
I bet you did. 2 hours. Oh, you poor love. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. And it cost 800 quid. 800 quid. Yeah.
You're kidding.
Not even kidding. No. I need £3,500 worth of work done on my teeth, honestly.
Oh, God.
Anyway. So have you been on twin duty again this week, or have you managed to get onto wedding duty?
I've been doing a bit of both. I've been on twin duty this morning, and my shift starts at 7 o'clock, which is quite, you know, it's early enough, isn't it?
Oh God, yeah.
And because it means I have to, you know, it's half an hour's drive. So anyway, so this morning I crept into the bedroom. The light was off. I thought, oh, that's old, because normally she started the 7 o'clock feed, so, and the light was off. And I went in very quietly. And poor thing, she was feeding Stanley, but she was asleep while she was feeding Stanley. And then I looked over and Eddie was just stirring and starting to wake up. So I thought, well, I'll leave Sienna and Stanley and I'll take Eddie. So I took Eddie downstairs and started to feed. You know where this is going, don't you?
She started to feed him.
And after about 15 minutes, this terrible thump and kind of, oh my God, upstairs. And James had woken up and looked at the Moses basket. No, obviously no baby in Moses basket. And absolutely panicked. I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Well, I used to have dreams when I think before or after Fee was born, that the baby was lost in the bed and I'd be sort of, you know, burrowing into the bed trying to find the baby. Yes, really? It's really frightening. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
so it's just, grandma baby napping, really, wasn't
it?
You know?
Yes. I think I'd made rather a good job at sort of stealthily stealing this baby. But do you know what I do when I'm on twin duty? We mustn't talk too much about twins because I know it can be a bit boring. I think what I do is I sing to them all the time.
How dreadful.
It's terrible sort of medley between kind of, you know, Hollywood hits to Manfred Mann to segue into something else. I can feel myself doing it. Just awful. I mean, they probably think, oh, for God's sake, well, you know, can't wait to tell this woman to fucking shut up.
I thought these days they give them those white noise machines, don't they?
Oh, yes, they've got those. Yeah, they like those. They like those.
So, and what noise is that? Do you hear anything coming out of the white noise
machine?
Yeah,
sort of swishy, a kind of swishy noise.
Yeah, that's so. They don't want you murdering old Manfred Mann hits. They want swishy white noise that reminds them of being safely, nice and quiet in the womb. Oh, nice and quiet, just a little sort of, you know, like being on the sea, because that's like the amniotic fluid swishing about a bit.
I guess it must be like that. Yeah, it must be like that. Yeah. I'd go and ruin that for them. But they like the Blue Danube as well. There's a. You'll know. You'll
what
be.
What do you
desperate.
Mean? The do 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 do. Is that the Blue Danube?
I think that sounded like a James, not the James.
No, that's the one, the Harry Lime one. No, it's the Harry Lime one. That's the one I'm trying to do. You know, the third man. I thought all babies liked that one. I thought that was a big hint for the babies.
But what's there's the a Blue YouTube channel. Well, there's a YouTube, the whole selection of these things which are designed for babies.
Okay.
And they kind of, you know, they're black and white shapes, so it's like Mary Quadland kind of
animated.
Oh,
yeah.
Then they put it to the Blue Danube. It's the only one I've managed to find and download so far. But they like that, so they kind
Can
of.
Can you
that
sing
amuses
the Blue Danube
them.
For me now, Judith? I'm not putting you on the spot, but I don't know what the fuck this sounds like, the
you
Blue
do
Danube.
No, you know the Blue. Do you know, I can't think what.
Right, I'm getting it on my. I'm going to pull it up on my. I'm going to pull it up on my computer.
Yeah, go on then, go on then. Race you to the Blue Danube.
Da 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 da
da da da da exactly.
Da 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 da
da da da
So, I'll well, that's that has segued us beautifully into Culture Corner, I think, Judith.
It has, hasn't it, really? Yeah.
Right, if we're going to television first, I loved... You know, Jeff and I have a thing for gangster movies now and again.
I do.
We really enjoy a gangster movie, and I just did some dabbling on the internet, sort of, you know, best gangster movies, and I've watched most of them, but I haven't ever watched Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman.
Never heard of it. Is that a recent one?
No, not that recent. It's sort of, you know, long enough ago to be sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It's quite a while back, but not that long ago. It's not like an old one, you know, it's not in black and white. It's Guy Ritchie, you know, and it's called The Gentleman. It's on Netflix. I really enjoyed it. Hugh Grant is in it, being brilliant. You know how Hugh Grant just is brilliant. You know, sometimes you think, Hugh Grant, blah, blah, blah. Then you go, oh, no, hold on, Paddington, he's fucking great in that. Fucking great in The Gentleman. He plays this sort of really, really peculiar character. It's the only way I can describe it, and it's a beautiful turn in the film. It really is. So Jeff and I really enjoyed that. And we have also started the BBC adaptation of Life After Life.
Oh yes, yes.
Have you seen it?
I've seen the first 10 minutes and I thought I'd probably wait to see it with Mike. It looks wonderful, actually.
It's beautifully done. And I loved the book. I mean, the book was a confusing read because it does go, you know, she starts her life all over again. She dies and then she's, you know, she doesn't die and then she's, oh, is she dead? No, she's not. But this is a really classy adaptation. It really is. It looks beautiful. It's very well acted. I really, really like it. I think it's kind of just reminds you of when the BBC is at its best, how really excellent it is.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. I'm really enjoying Sewing Bee. It was on, what day is it? We're recording on a Thursday. It was on last night. And it just gave me an hour of pleasure, Judith.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. It's feel good. It's kind of inspiring.
Do you think you could almost do it, couldn't you?
Of course I could. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, you might
be
second
ridiculous.
Or third out, but I think you could. You can do it. You're thinking of doing cushions for your outdoor furniture.
Oh, I'm halfway through them. I'm looking at them now. My God, it's a big project. You know, something, one of those stupid sewing projects that you think is easy and it's really not.
How can it be easy? These are sofa cushions, Judith. It's not just a little scatter cushion or anything like that. These are sort of, there's measurements and piping and all
measurements that. Measurements and piping and Velcro. Sew on Velcro, yes. So yes, that's been taken.
What colour fabric did you go for? Did you?
Well, because I had to get kind of water shower proof, so there wasn't a lot of choice. So I've gone for stripes, and you know the good thing about stripes is that you don't have to measure too much. You just sew up and down the stripes, so that actually is good. But no, I'm not nearly. I don't know. It's very sweet of you, but I'm not nearly in.
Can you do shearing? Last night they were doing shearing.
Oh no, I can't do shearing.
You know when it was smocks, it was all smocks like that.
Oh my god, that's smocking. Really difficult. Oh. No, they do really difficult things. But I just love, I love Esme and Patrick, don't you? Just the,
yeah, and I'm
you know,
really enjoying Sarah Pascoe on it as
she's
well.
She's good. Yeah,
yeah.
She's
I'm warming to her, and I just think that she's sort of generous and she doesn't sort of invade too much, but she's always there. Yeah. She's supportive and she's funny, and it's a lovely, lovely show. So there
I agree. Yeah.
I haven't really watched anything else. Oh, yes, Glow Up, which is the makeup programme that I know, you know, I'm far too old for, but I like watching people do makeup. That's fair, you know. I mean, I'm not going to watch it on YouTube and TikTok and all that, but I do quite enjoy the odd makeup programme. And this is a competitive makeup programme called Glow Up. It's on the BBC.
Very good, very good. We are into The Staircase. Have you seen The Staircase? The kind of, it's the new version. Apparently, it's the second version. I don't remember seeing the first version.
Is this a real life story?
Yes, it is. It is. And I think on Netflix is the documentary, because it's about you know, a woman who falls down the stairs, basically, and has this kind of catastrophic accident, in inverted commas, and dies. Very sort of bloody kind of corpse that you keep seeing. Yeah. And Colin Firth is he seems okay at first, but then he doesn't. He obviously says he hasn't killed her, that it's an accident. It's his wife.
Well, of course he killed her. Of course he killed her. Wives never fall downstairs. Yeah, they're always pushed. Always pushed.
Yeah, and she, obviously it ends up that she's got.
Apart from
Laura
Ashley. Apart from Laura Ashley.
Oh, yes, she fell downstairs.
She fell downstairs.
Didn't she?
Yeah,
I mean, they're quite dangerous things, aren't they?
Stairs are.
But, and I think there's a loft ladder as well, which I'm not quite sure how it is involved, but we're getting glimpses of that. But anyway, yes. So basically, he decided just before the trial that he would allow a French documentary crew, this is in real life, he allowed this French documentary crew to be part of it. Why he would do that? It's kind of big ego thing to have done.
Yes.
So there is a real documentary made by this French film crew, and then there's this drama, obviously with Colin Firth playing the lead. And you know, he's got they had a big family, step children, and they're kind of gradually realizing, no, Dad, you didn't really just find it, did you? And because the police have gone through his computer and found sort of very compromising images.
What sort of websites called How to Push Your Wife Down the Stairs?
Well, not quite that, but obviously he's bisexual, and you know, so it's this kind of disenchantment.
Oh, Judith, this sounds great.
It is good. It is good.
Okay, and, I'm writing that one down.
Oh,
okay.
You're writing that down. I don't think you've been writing any down for a while. So that, I think, but I'm not sure whether we thought we'll watch the drama first and then we'll watch the documentary. But and I think that's the right way round.
I think that's the right way round. Otherwise, you're going to know everything before you watch the drama.
Right, that's right. But it is. Yeah. It's rather good.
And well, I think he did it. I don't really need to watch it, to be honest. I think he did it.
Did you notice that the BAFTAs were relegated to 6 o'clock this year, which was a first, I think. And
well, I don't know whether I'm that interested. I don't know.
Oh, no. I mean, I think the thing is that it's always been sort of, it's one of those things, isn't it, that dominates a Sunday night schedule. For years, it's done that. It's a great big fat thing, fat television programme that overruns because everyone's so self-indulgent and kind of bores on. And, you know, 25 people go up to the platform and they all come down again.
And who presented this year?
What's his name? That guy, Richard Ayoade?
Yeah, Richard Ayoade.
Good. Very, very dry script. Very good. But basically, the BBC have finally realised that the great British public aren't that interested in what's going on in the sort of showbiz lovey types. So it was 6 to 8 p.m. I watched it.
Oh, I think that's ideal. I think that's ideal for a BAFTA show.
It was better. And it was, and I noticed that they'd taken the scissors. Really, some heavy scissor work.
Right, to the bone. Did you know anyone that won anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these days, most of the people going up are sort of the generation, or maybe even two generations behind me, but the kind of lifetime achievements and
that's annoying.
People, you know, in my neck of the woods, and indeed those we have lost. You know, I'm now starting to be of an age where you say, oh, I knew them. Oh dear.
And but you've seen theatre, live theatre too.
I do. Oh yes, Michael had a proper day out, proper cultural day out at the Old Vic, seeing the 47th by Mike Bartlett. Very, very, very good play. I would recommend it. And you know, he's the guy that writes a lot in sort of blank verse, and he, so it's quite Shakespearean. It's about Trump standing or not standing, you know, for a second term. So Biden's in office and the, you know, it, that's all about to happen. So it's set in about 2 years' time. He's taken a lot of kind of King Lear and kind of used that as a sort of template. So basically King's, you know, Trump starts.
So a bit Shakespearean.
It's very Shakespearean. And so at the start he has his three children and he says, right, you know, I need to decide who's going to take over the empire. And, you know, why do you think you should? And why do you think you should? And why do you think, you know, just like Leah does at the beginning, etc. Very sort of self-important. But it's funny and it's clever and it's current.
How about books?
Well, I need to choose the next book club thing.
Well, what I'm reading, Judith, that might be useful, because it's on Camilla's book list as well.
Oh.
And I literally started this morning and I am already impressed with it. And it is called, sorry, I've just turned it on, it's called The Paper Palace, and it's on the shortlist for the Women's Prize as well, by Miranda Cowley Heller.
Yeah. What's it about?
Well,
I'm writing this down.
Well, it might be useful to you, but I think that Women's Prize list is really quite useful. Because, you know, people start saying, well, why have you chosen that? You say, well, Duchess of Cornwall's got it on her list and it's on the Women's Fiction Prize list.
Yeah,
so,
well,
those
are good credentials, aren't
those
they?
Those are good credentials. I don't think anybody can argue with those. And yes, as I say, I'm only sort of about 15 minutes in, but it's very well written. And I don't know really what it's about yet, but it's family. It's family.
Okay. Is it set in contemporary times?
I think the nowadays bits are, but there are flashbacks to the past, you know, going back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, etc.
Okay.
I think what you had to do, Judith, I can't tell you anymore. I've listened to it for 10 minutes. I drove into, I've been recording an old book, a book that I wrote a long time ago this week, and the cab company has let me down, so I decided to drive today. Oh, it was
blimey.
One of the worst decisions of my life. There was a moment where I thought I was following the sat-nav, and I took a right-hand turn into what I thought was going to be Blackfriars Road, going over Blackfriars Bridge.
Yeah.
And I think I ended up in a cycle lane.
Oh,
and I was so horrified. And it was one of those sort of cycle lanes that goes both ways. And I could see loads of cyclists stopped at lights. That I did some reversing down a main road. I was absolutely fucking terrified.
Oh dear. You better brace
myself.
Letters.
Letters and points. I've never had a point on my license. Never, ever, ever. No. Never have. Never had a speeding fine. Never had.
That's because you don't drive anywhere. I don't drive anywhere out of London either.
I do 70 miles an hour a year in my car, but there we go. let us remind people of our email address in case they want to get in touch with us.
It'd be nice to hear from the gang, wouldn't it? Emails, but we need some more emails actually from the gang.
We're very needy.
olderandwiderpod@gmail.com. I'm quite confident.
No.
Thank goodness I haven't got that wrong.
It's olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go. I kept very quiet because I just went blank.
Jenny.
I was really confident. That was, you were hoist by your own petard there, Judith. So anyway, thank you very much, Daisy, for putting us right. Putting Judith right. I had an email from someone who suggested what my asymmetric underarm rash might be.
Oh, yes, I know. That
Lisa
laughing.
Bell, what 57 years in a week. Fungal infection, she thought it might be, and I think she could be right.
Well, how would you get one of a fungal infection from on just one side? You might have leaned on something, or what do you mean?
Well, no, I think that if it was an allergy to the deodorant, surely it would attack
both
armpits.
Indeed.
So I think that it's a good sort of ailment sleuthing there. I think she could be right.
She might be onto something.
Yeah.
She
suggested Canistan, I think, which is for your fanny. But then she went to the doctor and got some Dactocort for hers or something like that anyway. And you were recognised from a Get High by a Gang
member.
Oh,
it was so lovely. I was in Abingdon. I got a great big roll of this bloody material that I'm making. I got Poppy on a lead who was misbehaving. And this woman in the car park at Waitrose, she said, "Are you Judith?" She's one of the gang members. She's called Leslie. She said, "I recognise Poppy. And then I saw you." It was really nice of her. Poppy. And she said, I was very, very thrilled that she recognised Poppy and me. And she said that she looked forward to listening to that. We are her treat on a Saturday morning, which is very, very sweet.
Well, I hope she enjoys it this weekend. I am going north on Sunday to see June.
Oh, brilliant.
Because it's her 93rd birthday Monday.
It?
And for the first time since she moved into the home, which was during COVID in 2020, she is now allowed out of the home in a wheelchair.
Oh, brilliant.
So, weather permitting, I can get her round to her sister's, hopefully, for afternoon tea on her birthday.
Oh, wow. Wow. God, 2 years without doing that. I mean, when you think about it, that is extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. My sister managed it last week and she said for a moment she was a different woman.
Oh, I bet she was.
So it'd be really lovely to see a glimpse of old June if I can do it all and everything.
Yeah. Great.
So, you know, fingers crossed for that. Right then, everybody have a great week and we'll look forward to hearing from you. You've got our address and we love reading your emails.
We love hearing from you. We really do. Send us some emails. Now we finally, we haven't actually cracked the bloody email address, have we? But thank God we've got Daisy to do that for us. And okay, right, listen, talk to you in the week, I hope.
Yeah.
And look after yourself. Toodle-pip.
Will
love
do,
to Phoebe.
Will do.
And love to your mum. Love to June.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.